Is there a way to shortcut your startup? A former Goldman Sachs investment banker, TV show host, and serial entrepreneur sure thinks there is. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with author Courtney Rehm about building a new business. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. So shortcuts, they're rarely the best path to take. Remember that time that Jack Skellington kidnapped Santa Claus to create a new version of Halloween because he got bored?
And on a dark, cold night, on a full moonlight, he flies into a fog like a vulture in the sky. And they call him Santa Claus.
Now that's The Nightmare Before Christmas, a personal favorite of mine. Shortcuts in business, though, can be just as dangerous but a lot less funny, unless you read the new book from Courtney and Carter Rehm titled Shortcut Your Startup. The Rehm brothers are former Goldman Sachs investment bankers who now have their own investment company. They're also serial entrepreneurs and host a syndicated television show called Hatch. We asked Courtney Rehm to drop by the studio for a chat, and here it is.
Courtney Rehm, M13, and I guess I'm the co-founder.
Thanks for coming in. And I want to talk with you about your book, along with your brother, Shortcut Your Startup. But first, let's get your bona fides. What happened with the book title recently?
Well, we launched it last week, and we were really lucky to go to number one on Amazon in our category.
That's crazy. In 1 week, that's congratulations. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, someone told me, you don't know if the book's good or bad yet, so it just means you have good friends who are influential.
I've seen that list, and luckily we've had the majority of those authors on the show over the past year, so you're in really great company because there's some really good books on that list. So let's go back to your Goldman Sachs days.
Yes.
You were an investment banker?
Indeed.
And was your brother also?
My brother, who is 2 years younger, was also an investment banker.
Tell me a little bit about that. How did you get into that? How long were you there? What was your experience?
Sure. You know, my brother and I both worked there. People say, did you plan it? I always say, I mean, planned it, but it takes a lot of good fortune, a lot of hard work in between. We were both investment bankers. I worked in consumer products, so I was fortunate enough to work with, say, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, when they were merging. Part of the team that helped take Under Armour public, worked on Vitamin Water's first deal. And I think when you're around companies like that, you know, you get bit by the bug. And that was kind of the start of my entrepreneurial genesis.
Right on. And then you rotated into being an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Left Goldman Sachs, knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, or my brother and I did. We were the only friends of ours that were not going to the proverbial hedge fund or private equity shops. Everyone thought we were crazy and somehow ended up starting an organic and sustainable alcohol brand called Vive.
I want to talk a little bit about the book right now, Shortcut Your Startup. And sometimes when you look at a book's format, especially a business book, and you see how the authors have chosen to arrange it, you kind of can peek into the brain a little bit of the authors, right? Just by sheer design. Let's talk about how you came to startup switch-ups as your main conceit.
Like anything, we're all bombarded with information. So you want to have something that's kind of catchy that hopefully resonates with people. So startup switch-up felt like it worked for us. We tried to lay out the book sequentially. Sequentially, meaning the first chapter is called Get in the Trenches because that's what you have to do when you start. The last chapter is on exiting. And a lot of the startup switch-ups, we try to make something that's almost pithy or rhymey or something where someone goes, oh yeah, I remember that. Am I a sailboat or am I a speedboat? So that's
right.
The way we kind of tried to lay it out.
Right. And we're going to get to that too. That's one of the questions. Like, my format doesn't allow us to go terribly deep into these, but I could see that you were trying to answer some thematic questions with your switch-ups chapters. If it's okay, I'd like to unpack some of those.
Please.
Are you building a product or a company? Help me parse that.
I think the way we think about that, and this one came about because we've been on a kind of a Shark Tank alternative the last year called Hatched, and you get a lot of companies coming on it that I like to call the cute little as seen on TV thing. In the book, we pick on a kebab flipper griller thing. And it's a cool invention. Most people that grill really like it. But we call that a product, not a company, because unless you can figure out how to own more parts of the grill, how to be the cookbook, how to be the, you know, the charcoal, then that's more of a company. So that's the anecdote we use.
That makes a ton of sense. Thank you for that. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to finding your unfair advantage and exploiting it. I'm thinking this is the market opportunity.
Yep.
How do you help people understand what that really means? And because sometimes it's been my experience speaking with startups that they don't often find that market opportunity until they've iterated a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, as we say, we live in a world where everyone has or can kind of create some unfair advantage. Now, those unfair advantages are not equal in terms of opportunity. If my dad did X and someone else's dad did Y, they are certainly not equal, or my friend's the founder of whatever. But we live in a world where the joking analogy I give is it's not hard to get Tim Cook's email. Tim.Cook@Apple.com.
Right.
It is hard to get Tim Cook to reply. But that's what I mean about kind of creating your own unfair advantage, right? Tim Cook has never replied. I've only sent him 3 or 4, but he's never replied to one.
Right.
But if I get Tim Cook to reply and then get a meeting, that could be my unfair advantage. Or I went to this school, or I'm really good with this. They're out there. We just try to push people to dig really deep to find out what you can do and find your best unfair advantage.
All right. I'm going to ask one more kind of rote question, and then I'm going to ask you a little bit about you and
sure.
where you're coming from. The last one I want to ask is, comes up a lot when I talk to entrepreneurs, especially new ones, first timers, second timers, how to nail that customer acquisition cost. That mm-hmm. seems to be something that, as a journalist, I look at companies that get to like maybe Series A, mm-hmm. and then I look at their monthly active users and their cost against those MAUs. So what is that? How do we nail that CAC?
How to nail it is so hard to be prescriptive. So we tried not to be overly prescriptive in the book. We've just tried to explain to people that are clearly not as well-versed as you that, you know, we live in this world where people are saying, oh, I got to be profitable or I got to break even. Yeah, some of those are important depending on your business. I think what's more important is, you know, we say nail it before you scale it, really figuring out the unit economics of that, because there's a friend of mine in my YPO chapter, incredibly successful business. If I told you, you'd know it. And he wakes up one day and goes, oh my gosh, I'm attaching dollars to every transaction. The more I sell, the more I lose. And I had no way to flip it. And that was the beginning of the end for what most people thought was a really successful company. And that's why, you know, we use Dollar Shave in the book as a graph, as an example of
right.
this nail it before you scale it. Now you have this like blip, 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 and then jumps up 1,000x because they really figured out that CAC or that CAC
right
to
on.
LTV. So that's the trick, is figuring out the unit economics per transaction if you're doing what we usually do, which is consumer tech, direct to consumer.
Right. Let's talk about your usual path, your deal flow. When do you bring marketing into it? This is a theme on the show, just mm-hmm. so you know. I always ask this. At what point in your startup do you bring marketing in? Is it a little bit earlier before it leaves the station, or is it towards the caboose end of things?
Yeah, it depends on the product. I think, you know, we definitely do some traditional consumer products, and in general, I believe in doing very little marketing until there's a place to go find it on a shelf. So I would very rarely do marketing to try to get distribution, or some people believe that. I would only wait till there's a, you know, put the product in danger of being purchased. As it relates to something that's more e-commerce or direct to consumer, I think you got to get the marketing. It's a tricky question, because I think you got to get the marketing out there, but you have to be so smart about, you know, your geo-targeting, your segmenting, and finding your tribe. If I was sure, and this goes back to some of our shortcut startups like Nail It Before You Scale It, if I was sure I had found my tribe and had honed in on my right consumer, soccer moms in the Midwest with this demographic, I would pour that marketing machine on, because it's probably partly customer acquisition and marketing. If I wasn't sure I'd found it, I would not waste marketing dollars until I'd really nailed that.
That's a really great from the trenches answer to that, because a lot of people ask our marketers
mm-hmm.
and they're always
right.
like, oh, you should bring that up. You should definitely pull that up ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you about M13.
Yes.
That is your investment firm?
Yeah, it's my brother and I's, I guess we call it a holdco, because it's part kind of brand development company. We start our own brands, we accelerate brands, and on the other side, we do have a pool of capital. So I think it's nice because they work in harmony. Sometimes we're developing brands and we invest in them. Sometimes they're separate and lead to the other. But I think what makes us different than a traditional investment firm or a venture firm is that we're really operators first, and the capital side helps vet opportunities and helps give us almost like a farm system.
Right.
But we're really more brand builders. And so that's what we think are our unfair advantages.
And let's stay with this thread, because let's say I have a product, I want to become a company, and mm-hmm. I want to pitch to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in that interview, when I'm in that pitch session with you and your brother, what are you looking for? I mean, I understand. Let's say I have all my fundamentals are fine.
Right.
What are you looking for other than that?
Yeah, I mean, we're all about the scaling part. So I love to find, you know, we found a brand 9 months ago called Chomps that's like an organic Slim Jim, to keep it simple for everyone listening.
Okay.
And we looked at it and went, wow, this is a tasty product. It's a great product. The guy has all the intrinsics and intangibles. He just needs a little coaching and a little help with things we can help with. And we took that in less than a year from $1 million in sales to over 10 million. We think we'll triple it this year. Trader Joe's number one selling snack SKU nationwide. So that's the kind of product. Of course, there's no free lunch, pun intended, but it's the kind of product that we look at it and go, gosh, if I could just get my hands on it, I could do boom, boom, boom. And that's, you know, our name M13 kind of implies the pulling the pieces together and connecting the dots, because it's the brightest cluster of stars in the galaxy, whereby the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. So that's what we endeavor to do with these brands. So I get excited when I see a brand like that.
Courtney, thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on being number one in your first week out with Shortcut Your Startup.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Courtney Rehm, co-author with his brother of Shortcut Your Startup. Speed Up Success with Unconventional Advice from the Trenches. For a link to that book, their TV show called Hatch, and all of our links, go to KGORadio.com and look for the story that goes with this week's show. Coming up after the break, let's do a thought experiment. What if American healthcare could be fixed, but we had to go through Amazon to make it happen? I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please stick around.